Welcome to Do a Blessing CNS Church London's podcast, sharing the good news weekly. We hope you are blessed by today's message.
Tanner of ages, we thank you. For who is like unto you, O Lord, who is like unto you? You are fearful in praises, you are an honorable God. We thank you. Father, we say, let your name be glorified in the name of Jesus. As we go through your word, Lord, we pray that you will honor yourself. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's have our seats. God bless us all in the name of Jesus Christ. God has asked us to do a series on the fear of the Lord. And I wanted to start off with this, that the key to his treasure, the fear of the Lord. See, I am not totally surprised as when God begins to go in that direction. Because as we have been doing a series of teachings, especially around the church, making us aware of certain things that happen within the environment, what God does, that he takes that as a reason to hold you liable. Because when you don't know that certain things are around, you can still, but the day you are taught, that day it begins to hold you responsible. So the next key of action is to let every one of us, including me, know, now that you know, be careful. So you would naturally see at times that, you know, it is just biblical. There are certain things that, you know, when you begin to God begins to help you to unearth certain things, it becomes obvious. And we will definitely talk, we'll talk about that even as we go through this. And when we talk about the fear of the Lord, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10, I'm reading there before, it said, especially that day you stood before the Lord, your God at Horeb, at Mount Sinai. He said, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, and I will let them hear my words so that they can learn to fear me. What the Bible understands is that people cannot know how to fear God except they are taught. At times, there are certain things we think that, yes, we are called. See, if it were not to be so, God will not say, you know, so what he's saying here is that, let them hear my words. What he's saying is that, let the teaching happen so that they can learn how to fear me. So what God is, in essence, is saying here is that he's not expecting it that as a default, people would know how to fear. In fact, he went on and he said, so that when they know, so that they may teach their children. So what he's saying is that the next generation also needs to be taught what the fear of the Lord is. So, again, it's not surprising that God will say, do a teaching. Because he expects that people learn to fear him as they begin to understand. One of the greatest challenges at times around the fear of the Lord is that we generally are not, we find it difficult in our natural mind to be able to hold this God that we talk about in the same way that, you know, just it doesn't seem to match what we see, let's put it that way. So you read a scripture that says when God began to speak to Job, when Job genuinely was going through a difficult time in his life, and Job began to talk, and you see in Job chapter 38, from verse, the Bible says, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, and he said, who is that obscure, who is this that obscures my plan without with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I want to question you. What God was saying is that I understand what you are going through, but at times you seem to think that because of what you're going to gives you a valid reason to ask me questions. And what was happening was that at that time, at times it's and we'll begin to see how, why God, especially his children, he is so concerned about them understanding how to hear him. So the Bible would say, he said, brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world, the head's foundation? Tell me if you understand who marked off its dimensions. He says, surely you know. Basically, what God was trying to say to him, you need to realize who you're talking to. And he says, who stretched his measure line across it? Now, you would see this always come up through scriptures, that God had to kind of intervene to tell you that, you know, it seems like you are losing sight of who I am. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 to 12, the Bible says, see, the sovereign Lord comes with his power, and he rules with his mighty hand. He said, see, his reward is in his hand. His recompense accompanies him. Now, verse 11 says, he tenders his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lamb in his hands. He carries them close to his heart, gently leads them to those that have young. Basically, what the verse 11 is saying is trying to show you how tender God is. But verse 12 quickly turns it around and he said, who has measured the waters in his hollows of his palm? Basically, what I'm trying to say at times is that the challenge with people is to be able to comprehend how gentle people would say God is compared to his majesty. So he began to say that, he says, the waters in his hollows of his palm, he said, with the breath of his hand, he marked the heavens. Who has held the dust of the head of the head in a basket? Who weighed the mountains on the scale and hills in the balance? Basically, what God is saying is that God gathered all the waters of the earth and he put them in his palm. That same palm is what the Bible says that he cares for his children. The challenge at times is that it's difficult to be able to get the balance when it comes to God. On the cross, you will see God's judgment. On that same cross, you will see his love. And at times people are, you know, at times if they, so you would see, what I'm trying to say is that one of the challenges we'll see through scriptures as we just try to study and we look more into the fear of the Lord is that one of the actual problem is that people do not know where and how or when to fear him. Because Hebrews was saying to us when it was describing it, he said, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place flaming with flaming fires and darkness and gloom, with whirlwind, and as the Israelite did at Mount Sinai. He said, for they had the awesome trumpet blast and a voice so trembled that they begged God to stop speaking. The Bible says they staggered back had under God's command, even the animal that touched the mountain, it was stoned to death. Let's read on, please. The Bible says, Moses was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and troubled. He said, you have come to the Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to countless thousand angels of joy gathering, to the assembly of God, the church of the firstborn, whose name are written in heaven. Now, what does this mean? What the Bible is trying to say to us is that the problem is that you are not in an environment where it is immediately visible that you are seeing thunder strike. You are seeing this happen. He said, but that does not mean that God is not there. I would also tell you that biblically, nobody that has seen God shout and has remained in the fear of God. It is not a guarantee. Because if it were to be a guarantee, the children of Israel will not change. So some people say, maybe if God is showing us that he's powerful all the time. No, he doesn't. It has never worked. They will fear him at that time. But the next minute, they are forgotten. And you will see how the Bible addresses this as we go on. Now, what I'm trying to point out is that one of the major things, even as you concerns, like we looked and we're talking about the church, one of the major concerns, one of the major things that is being an issue is that people are in a place where they should be afraid of him, but they do not know, because those things that will make you shake may not necessarily be visible. So you would see the example which we have been looking at all through is Jacob. Jacob got to a place and Jacob slept. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 28, the Bible says, and then Jacob woke from his sleep. So that means that Jacob was sleeping in the same place that he said, how fearful and awesome is this place. So even though that place was a fearful place, when Jacob got there, he saw it as a place that he can sleep. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. One of the reasons why people don't fear, have not understood, that's why when we talk and when we are teaching about the fear of God, that they enter places where they just see it's normal and they sleep until when God opens their eyes that they begin to fear. And the challenge at times is that if you are not, I will get there, if one is not, it doesn't have the fear of God, it will cost you a lot. It will cost you a lot. So the Bible says he woke up and he said, there is no other place than the house of God, the gates of heaven. Let's go on. And the Bible says he woke up early and he took the stone which he had put under his head. So what he used as a pillow. So he had the ability to allow people to sleep in a place that he later referred to as a fearful place. What I am saying is that if your view of God's fear, if what will make you be afraid of God in a place is when you begin to see people jumping up and down, you would be in trouble. You will be in trouble. The Bible says in Psalm 89, verse 7, the Bible says, God is greatly feared among the assemblies of the saints. Is to be held in reverence by all those who come, those around him. Basically, what he's saying is that God should be revered by those who choose. I was listening to this guy who was saying, yes, God is all inclusive, but the gospel by the sense, God is not inclusive. He's not all inclusive. He gave a choice. He said, he said, a man is born again, he shall not enter the kingdom. He had already put a clause there. So that means that it is not free for all. You know, as I was not free for all. I was meeting somebody who said, you know, why don't you try to balance? You know, he said, the problem is that the truth cannot be balanced. You know, the truth is the truth. When you're trying to balance the truth, that's when you begin to enter something else. God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. So, having said that, what I'm just trying to first of all say and lay emphasis on is that at times one of the challenges of people when God is screaming, be afraid, fear me. People are going, what is the issue around the place that I should be worried about? That's why Paul was talking to Timothy. It's interesting that Paul was saying to Timothy that I am coming to church, but I may be delayed. There is something there that you should learn how to do. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 said, if I am delayed, you will know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Basically, Paul was saying, you can, before you do anything, in case that, because before you start serving, I need to make you understand that in the house of the Lord, there is a way you ought to conduct yourself. There is a way you ought to conduct yourself. And as we move gradually into trying to lay foundations on the fear of the Lord and what it means, is that when you look at, when I would look at this, you know, when you see the children of Israel, they saw the fire leading them, they moved the Red Sea, God delivered them with mighty hand. But yet, when you come to Exodus chapter 20, you would see that the Bible says that Moses said, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will keep you from sinning. So at that verse 20, God was saying, if these people don't understand how to fear me, no matter the signs and wonders they have seen, they will eventually collide with me. They will eventually collide with me. So we would see the same scenario play again in Leviticus chapter 16, when Aaron was just entering the house of God, will enter the holies of holies. Because Aaron, I explained this to us. Aaron was saying that he had, when God entered the holies of holies, everybody knew. But there was a day when Aaron came into the holy, Aaron was coming to the holies of holies. He did not realize God was there. Why? Because he did not see God manifest in the way he normally does. So the Bible says, the Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron whenever he chooses to. Because in those places, it is God that invites. But because Aaron did not see fire, Aaron just stepped in. I'm not saying that this is always a story. At least, I have two stories. One that I know of. There was this man that came to church one day. He was, I believe, maybe a CEO or maybe the general of a bank in Nigeria. So he came to church that day, and the wardens were saying to him, please take off your shoes. There was somebody in trance, and the church is quite big, so it's not that they heard what he was saying, but the commotion was going outside, and the wardens took him out to go and say, please, this. Somebody was in charge and God said, let him enter. And the church leader to say, let him come. You see, rubbish. And he came in and he sat down. Please, let me clarify. God is not offended when people, if you mistake, people put on shoes and come to the church. That's not the issue. The issue was that he was told not to do certain things. And he felt he knew better. So everything died down. The service went on. No issues at all. Not until about, I can't remember, maybe about 3 years or so more. 3 years or so more, and you began to, we began to see that it was it, I think it was Abacha then. It was Abacha then that had issues with the banks, and he arrested some bank owners in Nigeria. This battle was so hard that the man had to come and pack, hide one of his Lexus in church. He said, please, just let me keep this one. Because they are taking over everything. It's not even taking over everything. That was not the issue. The issue was that they were locked up. God was, and prayer of God, Lua, God have mercy. The day this man was released, I saw him. The man ran into church. In fact, he did not, from Kirikiri, he didn't have shoes. As that man entered the church and he lied down before and he was crying, the first thing that came to my mind was what God said 3 years ago, let him come in. If people don't learn to fear him. But why did he say that? Because as far as he was concerned, he was talking to the warden. It was one thing that was the issue. Excuse me, you don't go to the warden. Please let me just come in and come and sit down. I don't believe in all this nonsense. And I said, hey, no problem. The other one I saw, or I knew about, was one of these churches where there's always, you don't have much in the UK, there's always yard. So people go and take their part at the other side. So the church is in the middle. If you have been to those churches in there, where the church is in the middle. So, you know, people can. So one day God was saying, please tell people to stop dressing naked. There's no service. But they just wear towel. And they quickly run down to go and pick soap. And they come back again. There was nobody in church. So the God said, tell everybody that my house should be honored. So maybe this uncle, maybe that day, he just went, then quickly go and take this soap. As he stepped into the church, he didn't know where the cane came from. He was whipped. I'm not talking about telling you real life story, but why did he come into the church? Because there was nobody. The place was vacant. One of the greatest challenges where people step on the path of God is if people saw fire, they would not do so. But the problem is that there are so many times as we read through scriptures, the issue is that people do not realize that God is standing there. So it was, there was no service, there was nothing. God. With the soap on his face. Hey, help me, oh. Hey, help me! They beat him such a way that he didn't even know the way to the door. That was one of the. So the man was roaming around the church place. The more the king continued, he had to come and give testimony for everybody in church that God is truly in this place. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus. So what I'm trying to say to us is this, is that at times, that's why God said, teach people. And we read it from Daniel, the Tarot, when God said, teach them that, Deuteronomy chapter 9, teach them that they may know how to fear me. Because at times one of the challenges is that, one other thing is that when you are in his presence and in his house, the way you talk to somebody else, do you disrespect God? The challenge is that, just like that uncle was talking to Wadi, and it was Wadi he was talking to. The same way, but what God was saying, that person was is disrespecting me. So you will see it in the Ephesians chapter. The Bible says, submit to one another. It is you. So that means the way I treat this person, the way I talk to this person, God is not saying if you are right or wrong. That's not what God is saying. God is saying that in fear of God. So when I say to you, Elema, it has nothing to do that you are greater than me or I am greater than you. What I am doing, I am respecting God at that time. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe we should fight it on him at the back so that he does it. Hallelujah. Or you take the chair off from his right, so because he was sitting. Amen.
Amen.
So what I'm saying to us is that at that time, the issue is that you think that you are talking to somebody, but God is in that place and he's saying, how dare you disrespect me? I don't know if somebody was, maybe Stavalu was there. Yeah, I think she was there. There was a day we're having conversations. Well, we're having a meeting. I said, and please, that's why I said anybody, the Bible did not say pastor, the Bible said any of you, you submit yourself to one another. We're having a conversation about, I said they should not do something. And somebody said, no, I know that you are not, I know that you have a, you are not happy about this thing. And I said, calm down. But the, and I was already getting irritated. There were people sitting at that meeting who went in trance immediately. Why? Because when you begin to, there are certain people, when you begin to raise your voice, you are not disrespecting the other person, you are disrespecting God. So what I have to tell that person is, please, can we end this meeting and quickly go out? Why? Because at that time, what the response you saw is God saying, I am offended at what is going on. That is why, you know, Jesus was talking about your discipline. What Jesus said? Jesus said, if somebody did something wrong, call somebody else. If that person does not listen, call one other person. He said, with two people, you choose the best. I said, if he doesn't listen, go and call the church elders. He now said, if he does not listen, let that person be treated as an. Jesus now said something afterwards. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, where two or more of you are gathered, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What Jesus is saying is that while you are going through that process, angels are following you. That's why I tell people, somebody, I almost perceive myself, please, by the mercies of God, no matter how you disagree about church discipline, take it. All this attitude of teaching one lesson. See, it's because people don't understand scripture. The only time, all this prayer that we say, where two or more are gathered, I am there, that means one was prayer, the other one was when the church agrees that we're going to discipline this person. God, Jesus said, wherever two or more of you are gathered in my name, I am there. What he's saying is that, in other words, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. He was talking about prayer. He was talking about when you agree to discipline one person. So what Jesus is saying is that when the church gathers, there is more going on than your eyes can see. Amen. So we are. So the first thing, part of this as well, that's why I say those who come near him must revere him. Those who come near him must revere him. Amen. I'm telling us, just showing us certain places as we come to a point, certain places where people overstep their boundaries and they do not know their faith. They are stepping there and they are colliding with God directly. Somebody will feel that, what is the issue? This person knows how to see, but that is not the issue. See, this is the way it is. I've explained it to us last time. Even to today, nobody can offend you at when your CEO is sitting down and you stand up and say, you are stupid. Do you know what will happen? Both of you, you'll be chased out of that place. Both of you will face disciplinary action. It doesn't matter who did what. The fact of you standing down up to make a statement without being called is disrespect to those sitting on the seat. The same way, that's what God wants us to do. Is that if anyone, and that is why it's important that as we begin to start like that, we say, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Another time we will see is that, and we will talk more about this later on, this is just laying the foundation, is the name of God. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 7, he said, pray this way. He said, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. He said, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means something that is honored. You will never see in scripture where the only expression of the name of God, if you would even call it a name, is the name of Jesus. The Bible never shows you the name of God anywhere. So when you read Jehovah Jireh, what he means is multi-breasted God. That's the one that provides. Why? Because Jews do not pronounce the name of God. You always see it when they are put, there's always a dash. I don't know if you've read that. There's always a dash. Why? Because the name is held. That's why the Bible says you should not pronounce the name of the Lord your God in vain. Why? Because it is a thing of honor. It is a thing that should gather fear. Now, what does this have to do with anything? That is why your body, the name of Christ is upon it. So whatever you do disrespect to your body, you do disrespect to God. If you fear God, you would be careful what you take into your body, what you drink, what you eat, what you wear. It is lack of fear or understanding of the fear of God that will make you dress in a particular way. Because as far as God is concerned, that is disrespect to him. That's why he said, he's talking about the name of God. The Bible says that, he said, hallowed be your name. Let's come on, please, man. The Bible said, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands firm. With this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must run away from wickedness. On that translation, we say from sin. That is why the Bible says that, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Lord? Why? Because the name of God is upon it, and that name has to be held in honor. So that is why you would see at times when God would say something, I said, I'll be your baby. At times people are not, what he's saying is that you have not understood that a name is written on your body. And the way you disrespect your body, you have disrespected him. We will get there when we are looking at when things in the temple are segregated. That is why David could not go and eat the bread. Even this is how God works. If you bring the bread to the house, before you enter that place, it is your bread. Once you bring it here, it is not yours again. The same way is your own life. There is nothing called "it's my life." That is the one you sang before you met Jesus. After you met Jesus, whatever you do to your life, that is why the greatest thing he can do is to put his name on you. So when you say, "Papa ati menyoro kabo forukore," it is not only the name. Whatever his name is called with must be honored. So you can see now why God is saying we should talk about teach fear of God, because at times when you look at fear of God, it's no. The way you live your life, this body, determines if you honor God or you don't. Because his name is already on your body. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus. Will not be blind. Hallelujah. God help us in Jesus' name. I just need to know. Will not be blind. Amen. That's why the Bible says you need to teach the fear of God. So, he said, anybody who confesses, who means they must turn away from wickedness. Before you say, this is the witches of my family, if you look at other translation, he said, it talks about sin. Amen. That's why I try to help you talk about wickedness. When people are reading a particular translation, and say, with the wicked people, you don't like what the Bible is talking about wickedness. Is not wickedness is God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So now, let me just come to quickly to some parts as I just pack this up. As you know, like you said, we're going into over 3 weeks. The fear of God, one of the major reasons why God ensures that his children understand fear of God, is that you cannot last with God except you have learned to fear him. No matter what you think you have, you cannot last with him except you have learned the fear of God. And you are growing in that fear. That's why Psalm 19 and verse 9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever." That means that what will make anybody stand and stand for long with God is the fear of God. Is the fear of God. Scripture goes to scriptures down Jeremiah. The Bible says, he said, "They will be my people and I'll be their God." That's the first part. Say, you are going to be my people. Say, but God now said, He said, "I will give them a singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me." Because God understands that no matter how much you say, "I love you, Lord," if you don't understand his fear, you will not last. So he says that so that they will fear me and all will go well for them. He said, "For their children and for their children, after them." The Bible says in verse 40, he said, "I will make an everlasting covenant with them. But I know that covenant cannot be everlasting." He said, "I will never stop doing good to them. And I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me." God is saying, no matter how many covenant I make with you, if you don't understand the fear of God, you will leave. Now, you can have your own, we can have our own ideas. But biblical teaching is that if a man does not learn to fear God, it's only a matter of time. That is why God will always ensure that his children learn the fear of God. There was a man of God who was very big. He had wonderful ministry. And he was later caught for fraud in America and was imprisoned. Before then, it now became obvious that before then he was sleeping with a couple of people in church. So one man of God went to meet him and he said, "When did you stop loving God?" And the man said, "I never stopped loving God." He said he was getting up. He said, "What do you mean, never stop loving God?" He said, "I never for once stop loving God." He said, "The man was saying, the problem I'm having is that when I heard about the story of your sexual things and whatever it is, I attended your services. When you lay hands on the sick, people were getting healed. I saw you weep when worship was going on." He said, you were the one that inspired us. Your prophetic words were accurate. He said, "So I'm finding it difficult to understand how you can do all of that and still be sleeping with somebody in your church." And he said, "But you are not communicating to me." He said, "You stopped loving God." He said, "Because the passion I saw you with God and the way you were, you know, you carried the whole auditorium. Everybody could feel the love of God from your heart." And the man said, "I know it was genuine. But what I'm asking you is that when did you stop?" And the man said again, "I never stopped. But I never feared God. I loved him, but I never feared him." Then you understand why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is what keeps you. You can love God. If you don't fear him, you will not last. So the Bible says, so this is what I just wrote. He said, you cannot love God well until you learn to fear. That's why the scripture that we read earlier said that so that they will not leave, so that they would, he was talking in Exodus 20, he said that they may not sin against me. God did not say they don't love him, but he said, if you don't fear me. The man said, "I never stopped loving God, but I really never learned to fear him." Jesus said, Jesus quoted the scripture, but let's read it from Isaiah. He said, the Lord said, "These people come near me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips." Please note what the Bible is saying. It did not say that they did not honor him. The Bible says they honor me with the presence, but their hearts are far away from me. It said their worship is based on mere human rules they have been taught. Let's see what the Bible calls worship. Let's go to the KJV. The Bible says that they honor me with their lips. Their heart is far away from me. Their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men. So when Jesus saw people pouring adoration, he said, all this love. I love Jesus. I'm crying under that. In the deep of that, there is no fear. He said the fear that they have been led, they've been taught, is the fear that men has taught them. Where did you learn how to fear God from? Let's look at this in the Amplified. It's wonderful. It said, their reverence, which is the fear of me, is a tradition that is learned and when that they have learned by rote without regarding regard for its for its meaning or understanding. They have no clue what they are saying. Are you sure? In fact, when you read, we sang it today, which was powerful. Awesome God, how great thou art. We say, do you know the meaning of awesome? I read Cambridge Dictionary. It talks about fear. Because hall, that's the A-W-E. Amen. I don't think I got it. I think any hall. God help us. Amen. But here we are. Thank God. Amen. So, I can't even sing the song, awesome God, our great power. And God is saying to David, if you hear me. The problem is that some of these words have been so much said that the meaning is lost. And he said, their fear of me is taught by men. And one thing I was saying earlier was that the issue about fear is that it is not quickly visible to people until when God bursts out. It is well. The Acts talks about Ananias and Sapphira. They went to sell their stuff and they brought few what? And they were lying to Peter. But what they did not realize was that there was more people in that gathering than them. So while Peter was still talking, God came out and struck them. And I say that, I said it so many times, this practice is still going on in the body of Christ till today. What made them, if you go into the previous scripture, what made them to go and sell their stuff? It was because they were doing competition. Some people brought gifts and they said, the Bible says they called that person the child of encouragement. That's what the apostles called him. So they said, how long they would call Gitti? Let us bring our own offering. And they brought that offering and God struck them with the offering. I say this all the time. At times, you are doing Thanksgiving. Your own is telling you that I my leg miss and God healed me. Now, because somebody is standing before you and has said powerful testimony, you now pick my hand. When I was coming. See, I saw it in the dream. My letter came back. I said, no. And I saw it in the physical. See, I will tell you, there are so many offerings that has collected costs from heaven. People may dance and take it. As far as God is concerned, it is not. Because if you learn to fear Him, you will see exactly what He did. All this hyping of people. Hey, God of mercy. See, Paul said, no wonder most of you are five issues because you are deliberately stepping beyond your boundaries. Amen. They are almost done. He said, their fear towards me. The way they understand to fear me is how men have taught them. Because they don't understand what they are saying. At times I tell people, see, at times there's some song that God is blessing. Why don't you just sing blah, 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 sheep, happy? Jesus will be happy. Trust me. Than you singing songs that it doesn't come from inside. Amen. I'm not saying don't sing. I'm saying let it have meaning to you. Because it is lack of fear for you to be thinking you are teasing God or you are hyping Him. Now, like we said, stability is anchored on the fear of God. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6, the Bible says, it will be your sure foundation, it will be the sure foundation of your times. Riches, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to His treasure. So the treasure of God that will ensure that you are stable in your Christian walk, the key to it is God's fear. The key to it is God's fear. And as we look at this, is God understands that aside, see, when they call something treasure, what does that mean? It is hidden. You need to genuinely desire it for that fear to come. And Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that if anybody thirsts, let him come and drink. So what is Jesus saying? That the prerequisite of the Holy Spirit manifesting in a dimension in your life is the hunger for it. If you are not hungry to learn to fear God, it will never be easy. So Isaiah says us to us, let's complete the next one. He said, a shoot shall come out of Jesse. And the Bible verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. He said, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Basically, what the Bible is saying is that when your hunger to fear Him grows, the Holy Spirit will begin to release His fear into your heart. When we go through hard times, which we all do, even when we go to times where we are facing things that we do not deserve, what will ensure your survival with God is the fear of God. And that is what we are ending on with. Let's go to Hebrews, please. The Bible says, in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayer and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death, he was heard because of his godly fear. For Jesus to go through the time where he would have said, God, I don't deserve all of this. I've reached my limits. What enabled Jesus to go through was the fear he had for God. Let's look at the Amplified Version, please. It says, with fervent crying and tears, to the one who's always able to save him from the death, he was heard because of his reverent submission towards God and his sinless and his unfailing determination to do the fear, to do the will of God. Because he was faced at a point in his time where he could have said, I've had enough of this. I might as well just do what I feel like. It was the fear of God that made him say, no matter how I feel, no matter what I'm going through, I will still fear him. And that is what we are looking at in the next couple of weeks. The fear of God. No man survives with God without fearing. They may be popular at the time. It's only a question of time. In fact, they may be popular till they leave this earth. But as far as when they wake up in eternity, they are already far away from it. The fear of God is what keeps any human being with God. Let us rise, please.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Have a blessed week.